All right, great to have you at the Public House. We're going to go to at CSN Bags with two G's. Andy, how are you this afternoon?
What's up, Andy?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, sorry I'm joining you a little late. The day got away from me. I was rescuing a neighbor's cat from the trees, and there were all these old ladies I had to help across the street. And the Champions League final went to an extra time, too. So.
Yeah. I thought anyway, you were writing a letter to Alex Trebek is what I thought.
Okay.
But I did get an email from Jeopardy the other day. They encouraged me to try out for Sports Jeopardy. Have you heard about Sports
No,
Jeopardy?
I haven't. Is that the same company?
It's. I'm not sure what the affiliation is, but it's the exact same. It's all licensed through Sony Pictures, and Dan Patrick is going to be the host. I think it's going to be webcast on Crackle.com.
Wow.
But the first season, they're going to get ready to start doing contestant selection and taping soon, and past Jeopardy contestants are eligible. So who knows? I might embarrass myself. If you follow a baseball beat, you kind of get swallowed by it. I'll have to remind myself who won the Super Bowl in the last few years.
Well, as long as you don't go up against, as long as you don't go up against Bill Arnold, I think you'll be fine.
Or get any trampoline questions. Exactly right.
All right. Hey, I'm going to let Pat take over on this one now. I read your blog this morning from last night, and, of course, you know, there's always a story about a clubhouse, and there were things going on in this clubhouse that you uncovered last night, and I found it very interesting. Patrick, you could take it from here.
Well, I was none the wiser two bags, but the story of Michael Morse and the helmets, the medieval Sumerian barbarian helmets, is phenomenal. A lot of this goes back to films like 300 and Gladiator. Hey, Bags, you uncovered a real gem here, buddy.
Yeah, no, it's not just medieval. We're talking all kinds of antiquity here. And Morse and Pence have had theirs for a couple weeks, and they've just sort of been sitting in the shelf of their lockers. And all of a sudden I look up when I'm talking to Appelt, and he's got one in his locker. Mm-hmm. Romo's got one in his locker. Brendan Hicks has one that it looks like the fat lady from the opera is wearing it, you know, with the Viking horn.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, what's going on here? And so Morse starts telling me about, I guess it started to become a thing, and that maybe everyone's going to have one by the time we get to the All-Star break. They do something with the helmet after they've been. Some kind of where the wild things are, kind of tribal dance. I don't know. But I do know that they try to pick out the helmets at everybody's personality in Appelt because...
We're losing Andy. Andy, can you call us back? You're in a bad cell area. Just call us right back.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, oh, now we can. Are you there? Okay.
I'm right at the AT&T Park, so that would not be good for AT&T.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
So Appelt, they picked out one for him because he's in ministry. He's a big part of his life. So his was the Crusader. It's like the giant bucket helmet with the eye slit in it. And I said to Morse, but you know what that looks exactly like? It looks like the knight from Monty Python who loses his arms and legs and says it's a flesh wound.
That's right.
And that's perfect. That's perfect for Appelt. I mean, could you get any better than the flesh wound knight from Monty Python for the guy who stabs himself twice a week? So that turned out pretty good. Morse liked that picture.
And, it's of course, we go through this every year, the bonding of a clubhouse, and especially a winning clubhouse. It's easy to get it done. But look who started, you know, the veteran Michael Morse.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, Morse and Pence, and it seems like they do everything together. I mean, these guys, they in the same hitting group, they play catch. They really have become, really bromance is the only word you can use, Mark.
All right. Hey, what's going to happen Monday when Matt Cain's turn comes up? What's your prediction on that?
Well, the Giants said they would probably make a call on that today. I'm not going to hold them to that because there's no reason for them to. Unless they thought that he was going to miss more than one start, then it's pretty obvious you put him on the DL. But they're not at that age. They're still thinking today. Would they let him go without throwing a bullpen? That's an interesting question because you have Hudson go the very next day, and he told me that he still has a little hip discomfort. It's manageable, but, you know, it's becomes a concern when you have two starters scheduled to go back-to-back days that, you know, are fighting through some nagging things. So, we'll see. I think just to err on the side of caution, it's a long season. You can throw Petit out there. But you know what? If Matt Cain's confident, then I think he's enough respect to what you staff that he can convince.
All right, one last thought for you as you come into the park here. Andy Baggerly with us of CSN Bay Area. If Cain did go on the DL, and, of course, Petit got that start, it would open up another spot for a call-up. Are you in favor of another pitcher, or do you want a hitter?
I think they need to go down to 12 pitchers eventually. Once everyone on the staff is healthy, I just think there's too many instances where they really needed another position player. Look at Casilla. He wouldn't have hit the Coors Field if Bruce Bochy could have double switched him in. Instead, he brings him in. He gets out in the eighth, and he comes back for the ninth, and he's hitting third. And if they have that extra position player, then they can, maybe they don't face that situation. Same thing with Bumgarner. If he had gotten hurt and he'd been drilled in Colorado, that really put that foot in the back, because Bumgarner was only hitting because the Giants had two guys on their bench that were healthy that day. And they were hitting 160 and 140 in Arias and Adrianza. And Bumgarner wasn't coming back to pitch. He was hitting because position player. So eventually you play that short, something bad's going to happen, and you get exposed. And so I think Gary Brown a look or somebody like that, I think it just makes more sense to have 12 pitchers on the staff.
All right. Hey, Andy, thank you. We'll see you up in the press box in a little while.
Okay, fellas, see you soon.
All right. That is Andy Bagley cutting out at the end, Pat.